And a good Saturday morning to you, and a good luck wish for the participants in this weekend's Golden Meadow Fouchon Tarpon Rodeo. Yep, going on down there in Fouchon. Scales open at 1 p.m. if you want to go down there and check out some of the big fish that are being brought in. It's in the beautiful air-conditioned new pavilion down there in Fouchon. They're going to have music, shrimp boil. Kids' scales will be closing at 4 o'clock today, and others will close at 5 p.m. The auction, awards, the raffle, music all goes on till midnight. That's all at the Fouchon Pavilion, and I'll have a few more details for you. You may have been tuned in last week when we spoke to the Admiral and also Lynn Kiger, who is with Lafourche Department of Tourism down there, and kind of gave us a rundown on what it's going to look like. But we'll update you again. Also have some big news coming out of the Department of Wildlife and Fishery this week, and those of you who will be fishing this coming week need to be aware of this. There will be a temporary red snapper closure and a big change coming when it does reopen. We'll have the details for that. And is it possible that our six snapper napper bad boys had something to do with that snapper closure? And just what was it that Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry said about this case that has set off criticism across social media? We'll talk more about that and hope to hear from you on it. We'll also have a CCA Star Tournament update from Director Sam Hopper, and we're going to hear from one of the three registered anglers who have claimed their prize for catching a tagged redfish in this year's Star Tournament. Allison Schultz will join us to tell us about the extraordinary circumstances surrounding her prize-winning catch. You won't want to miss that fascinating story. Some circumstances there that are just truly unbelievable. And if you had a successful fishing trip this week, we want to hear your report. We'll add it along with your comments and your questions to those we get from our field staff of professional captains and marina operators. And you can do that by texting your questions, your comments, your fishing reports real time into the studio here at 504-260-1870. And I'm going to ask you to please text early and often, and I'll tell you why. We're having some technical difficulties. We have no call-in phone lines today. But our text line is up and running. That number, again, is 504-260-187. Now, I have a lot of time. I should be able to get to everyone's text that texted in this morning. All right, your coastal marine forecast. If you're on the road, if you're at the camp and you're waiting to get out and wondering what you're going to encounter, you're going to look offshore for some westerly winds, 5 to 10 knots, 2 to 3-foot seas. In the interior lakes and bays, those winds will be light out of the west at only about 5 knots, some smooth conditions. Tomorrow, the wind's expected to be southwest, 5 to 10, 2-foot seas. And on the inside, a little variable, west switching around to southerly, still light, 5 knots and some smooth conditions. Of course, those conditions could change depending on the path of Hurricane Beryl. It's not supposed to affect us almost at all, but if it does take a little bit more of a turn to the north and east, then possibly we could get some action in the Gulf. Average tide range, boy, it is rocking and rolling. We rarely get a 2-foot tide range, but we've got one today. We've got, a tide in Grand Isle is going to be high at 10 a.m. High tide in I-10 and Slidell and Lake Pontchartrain is 2 p.m. In Shell Beach, the high tide is 3 p.m. Rain chances, well, you got 50-50 today and about 40% tomorrow. Pattern this week has been, if you're in it, you know it. Some places totally dry, other areas not far away, getting a couple inches in just an hour, hour and a half. So be aware for those big thunder boomers bouncing around out there. Mississippi River stage, 4.8 and on a little bit of a rise. So there it is. Stage is set. We got lots to talk about in the next 2 hours. Hope we'll get some text from you, and we got a lot of information to pass along for you as we do each and every Saturday morning, because it's what we do here, 5 to 7 a.m., Outdoors with Don Dubuque, right here. We'll be back after this. All right, for those of you that will be fishing down in the Shell Beach, Breton Sound, Hopedale, Delacroix areas, got a report in from Robbie Campo. Here's his report. He says not as many numbers of trout were caught this week, but the ones that were real quality fish. Moving in towards those long rocks, there's a few trout. And again, not as many numbers and tons of 12.5-inch trout. Used to be 11.5-inch, right, when we had a 12-inch limit. Now it's 13. We're catching 12.5s. But nevertheless, lots of action. In the Mr. Go to the Hopedale Dam, there's mixed boxes of trout, reds, and white trout. Lake Bourne, you're going to find some redfish along the eastern shoreline. They're being caught there and also up in the Biloxi Marsh. And Robbie is going to keep us updated on the shrimp situation. It's a little bit iffy, but if he does, in fact, run out, I know some of the bait shops and marinas do not have bait there, so you might want to check with the one you're going to and find out before you head down there. All right, we also have this information on red snapper season, okay? I wanted to get this out. If you're a red snapper fisherman or planning to go next week, some big news coming out. The latest private red snapper landing estimates, and this is through June the 16th, they indicate that 513,444 pounds, which is about almost 55% of our annual allocation, which was a little bit short of a million pounds, 934,587, has been caught so far up until June 16th. So, in an effort to extend the season, at least through Labor Day, because, you know, we've been hammering snapper 7 days a week since it opened, and the weather's been conducive to getting out there, and a lot of snapper have been caught. So in order to keep it open through Labor Day, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan signed a declaration of emergency that closes the red snapper season in both state and federal waters off Louisiana at 11:59 p.m. on July 7th. That is tomorrow. It will remain closed until Friday at 12:01 a.m. on July 12th. And so when it does reopen, it'll open, going back now to previous years, a weekends-only season. And remember, the weekends are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Labor Day, it will include Monday. That's a four-day weekend. It'll be open until Monday, September the 2nd, and they are planning on closing it for the season until further notice. Now, if they come back and say, well, we didn't reach that 934,000 pounds, well, we got a few more weeks or days, we can reopen it. The daily creel limit, in case you're wondering, is going to remain 4 per person, and the size limit is unchanged. It'll be 16 inches minimum total length. So big news, red snapper season closing at, say, midnight tomorrow night. So from Monday through Thursday night, it will be closed totally. No red snapper can be caught and possessed. And when it does reopen, it will no longer be 7 days a week. It's going to be weekends only. So that's the latest on the red snapper story. All right, we've got a rodeo, a big one going on this 4th of July weekend. It's one of the oldest rodeos. And last week we were talking to a couple of the officials with the Golden Meadow Fouchon Tarpon Rodeo. And it continues on. Here's the schedule for today. The scales are going to open in the pavilion. And this is the Fouchon Pavilion. It's recently built. I think it's now 2 years old. And that opens up at 1 o'clock to weigh the fish. And if you want to go down there and take in some of the sights and sounds and see some of those big fish that are brought in, they'll have them on display there. Music kicks off around 2. There's a shrimp boil dinner, and they know how to boil shrimp in Fouchon, let me tell you, from 4 to 7 p.m. And there's also going to be the children's division will close their scales at 4 o'clock. Then all divisions will close at 5. They're going to be doing some giveaways for the kids. There's a live auction. They'll be presenting the fishing category awards. There'll be a drawing for a raffle. This is going on all night, all the way up until midnight. The music plays, and then they'll shut the pavilion down at about midnight tonight. So that'll put to bed the Fouchon Golden Meadow Tarpon Rodeo. This one's been around a long time. It was good hearing from Admiral Darby Chasson and Lynn Kiger with the Fouchon Rodeo. So got that one going on. We got other rodeos, lots more coming up this month. This is the big month for fishing rodeos. We're going to talk more about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. That one is almost as old as the Grand Isle. I think there's 1 year between the two rodeos. Next weekend, we got the Blue Boot Rodeo. And then, of course, the one they called the granddaddy of them all, the International Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. That one's been around since 1928. It is the oldest fishing tournament in the United States, and I believe the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, which is celebrating its 91st year, started 1 year later in 1929. Some of the other things we'll be talking about, well, it's Shark Week. You heard about some attacks, I'm sure, in Florida and Texas. And it's Shark Week here in Louisiana. And as happens every year, the bull sharks are starting to show up in Lake Pontchartrain. We had a report and a photograph, if you look on my Facebook page, Wicked Fishing Charters, who specializes in catching what they call the Kraken, which is big fish in Lake Pontchartrain, sharks, gars, bull reds. They landed a pretty sizable bull shark, and we've got a picture of it up there. Also, later on, we're going to hear from Sam Hopper, the director of the CCA Star Tournament, and also Allison Schultz. Just an unbelievable circumstances on which she caught her tagged redfish and won a brand-new boat, motor, and trailer. All right, we come back. We're going to have a special double bad boy feature for you. The first one is coming up pretty soon, about 5:30. Also, we got some more fishing reports. Your text messages, keep them coming in at 504-260-1870. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, want to remind you, if you're going to be out boating this weekend, it is another Operation Dry Water weekend where Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents, they're going to be out in force patrolling the state waterways, particularly looking for impaired boat operators. Now, nationwide, alcohol is the leading known contributing factor in fatal boating incidents, causing 17% of all deaths on the water. Last year, Louisiana reported 7 boating fatalities, with alcohol playing a role in 2 of them, which is about 29%. To date this year, we've had 5 boating fatalities, alcohol being suspected in 2 of them, which is 40%. Now, last year, during Operation Dry Water Weekend, Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents arrested 12 boaters for DWI on the water. Now, DWI on the water is no light offense. In Louisiana and many other states, if you get a DWI on the water, it is the exact same penalties and fines as if you're on the road in a vehicle. It could include jail time, those fines, and you could lose both driving and boating operating privileges. Now, each offense, operating a vehicle or a boat while intoxicated, counts toward the total number of DWIs, whether they happened on the water or the road. And by the way, if you get a DWI for operating a moving vehicle or vessel while impaired, the first offense is a $300 to $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail. Second, and if there is a third offense, much more serious. So remember, use a designated driver on the water just as you would if you were on the road. If you're going to be drinking, don't be operating a vessel. And I tell you from personal experience, I don't drink when I'm out on the water, whether I'm operating the boat or not. And I'll tell you why. That hot sun, when it's hot, and the mix of alcohol, man, that would give me a huge headache, which is a good deterrent and a reason not to be drinking and driving or boating. So be aware. I can tell you this. I'm going to get a list of boaters who have been cited for DWI on the water. After this weekend, I'll be getting it next week, and I've already gotten several in this year, and a couple of them we may put on the bad boy feature. All right, it is rodeo season all over the Gulf Coast. We got the Golden Meadow Fouchon Tarpon Rodeo that's taking place this weekend. We told you about. Next weekend is going to be the Blue Boot Rodeo, and this one is Nicole and Darby. Put this one on, and I got to tell you, what a fantastic job they do with this rodeo. And if you heard our interview with them last year, they talked about how this rodeo came about. They lost their young son in a tragic drowning accident, and they started this rodeo with the idea of spreading awareness about boating safety in kids and using PFDs, and the sponsors have jumped in, professional athletes, LSU's catcher Alex Malazzo, third baseman Tommy White, and others have really jumped in on this and participate in it and make donations to it, and it's grown to be a fantastic rodeo. Takes place down at the Grand Isle Marina, and it kicks off this coming Thursday. 6 a.m. is when it starts. Fishing all day Friday. Lots of things for the kids. They've got, of course, some music and the bands and everything going on. Speckled trout is just one of many categories. They got redfish, sheephead, white trout, flounder, black drum, mangrove snapper, lemon fish. Now, red snapper is going to be a problem because that's going to be closed. Grouper, yellowfin tuna, blackfin tuna, swordfish. And for the kids, they've got also an abbreviated schedule. And also for the kayakers, those of you who like to go paddle for your fish, special categories for you in the 2024 Blue Boot Rodeo. Now, this year, there's a special event that's taking place, and it's called Life Jacket for Life Distribution. And that's going to be 1 week from today, Saturday, July the 13th, during the rodeo from noon to 5 o'clock. All kids from any age on up to 12 who go to the Blue Boot Rodeo are going to receive a free life jacket. And if the kids had gotten free life jackets in previous rodeos and they've grown, as kids have a tendency to do real quick, you can bring in your life jacket and exchange it for a larger size. It's called Children's Water Safety Awareness, and it's part of Riley John's Blue Boot Foundation. So if you can, participate in it. It's a great event for a very, very good cause. And we'll have our Bayou Wild team down there filming on location, and you'll see some highlights from the fishing rodeo there. That's the 2024 Blue Boot Rodeo. All right, we got some texts coming in. Let's see, we hear from Captain Ross. He pretty much checks in with us each and every week. He's down there, one of the guides at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He said he didn't fish much this week, but when he did, it was limits, limits, limits. Redfish, as always, even caught some nice trout. It's hot out. Stay hydrated. Oh, we know about that. I did some yard work this week in some of the hot weather. And, boy, I tell you, you got to take those breaks, get you some hydration, sunscreen, sunglasses, big old floppy straw hat. That's kind of the stuff you need. He suggests you get out there and get some, and always bring the kids when you do it. All right, we come back after this time out. We're going to have a Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature. You know, we're going to have two of them. We got a doubleheader. And on this one that we're going to tell you about, there were some comments made from our Governor Jeff Landry, and it drew some criticism from citizens on social media. I want to know if you agree with that. Was that criticism of Governor Landry fair? We'll be back to do it. You're tuned in to the Saturday Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, thank you for your text messages each and every week. You can send us a text at 504-260-1870 and ask any questions, make comments, and also give us your fishing report. If you had a good one or not so good one, that helps too. Tell people where not to go. All right, we got this text coming in from Rabbit in Lacombe. Taking the backwoods fishing crew to South Shore Bait and Marina to find some chef specs. That's from, I don't think I have a name on that one. All right, then we have this question coming in. What is the best time, all-time bait to fish for specs in the summer? That one is from Mike. And Mike, stay tuned. We're after this Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature and our station ID, I'll answer your question about what I think is the best all-time bait for speckled trout in the summertime. But we'll be back to do that and tell you about our Bad Boy feature number one right after we pause 10 seconds and let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were on patrol in the Mississippi River in Plaquemines Parish last week when they observed a 20-foot bay boat occupied by six occupants who, after undergoing a boating safety and creel inspection, all six, five of which are illegal immigrants, were cited for allegedly possessing over the limit of red snapper and possessing undersized snapper. Some were also cited for no basic or saltwater licenses or offshore landing permits, as well as the boat captain being cited for not possessing a fire extinguisher, failing to comply with PFD requirements, and improper boat numbers. During the inspection, Agents Corporal Austin Landry, Agent Austin Wiles, and Agent Brett Smith found the men to be in possession of 120 red snappers, of which 97 were undersized. All of those fish were seized and donated to the Second Harvest Food Bank on behalf of Hunters for the Hungry, two great organizations. Now, Governor Jeff Landry was criticized on social media for making this public comment. This case highlights the many issues we face by the failure of the Biden administration to secure our border and illustrates how our state's resources are weighed down by the consequences of of a broken immigration policy, Landry said. And that brought some heat. Well, the investigation is ongoing, and there may be more charges pending, but what we do know, that sharing the possibility of criminal fines of $1,600 plus another $3,098, making a total penalty of $4,698, are the boat captain and resident of Chalmette, 33-year-old Encarnacion Lopez, and illegal immigrants Juan Lopez, 30-year-old Oscar Ofion, 45-year Armando Aguilar, 27-year-old Ioni Martinez, and 46-year-old Mario Castro are bad boys of the outdoors. Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, we're closing the red snapper season because we've reached that quota. I wonder how much of the illegal catch is factored into that, you know, in order to set those quotas. And what do you think about Governor Jeff Landry? He was criticized. A lot of people jumped on him on social media after he made that comment, tying this in to the Biden administration's failure to keep the border secure. Now, does anyone believe that these illegal immigrants that are crossing the border, many have no identification, certainly they've got no driver's license, so they're unable to purchase any fishing licenses or offshore landing permits? Do they even care about that? And do they know or care about limits and respecting size and Creole limits? They're just there to plunder the resource at no contribution, making no contribution to the public. Do you think he was right to mention that? The criticism said, well, it didn't matter if they were illegals or not. We've got people who are legal residents and non-residents that also break the law. What difference does it make if they were illegals? I think it makes a lot of difference. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our text line this morning. We don't have any phone lines, so I'm sorry we can't take calls from our guest or from our fishing reporters, as we usually do, but we've got you there, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's see. We got this one. Mike, I want to get back to Mike's question. In fact, I'll do that when we come back after this next break, because it's going to take me a few minutes to talk about the best all-time bait for speckled trout in the summer. Mike, stay where you are. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll also get to some more texts. Going to tell you about some new rules, new regulations for you hunters, deer and turkey hunters. Tell you about some improvements and changes to the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, the International Grand Isle Rodeo, and it is Shark Week, especially in Lake Pontchartrain. That was evidenced by a pretty good-sized bull shark that was landed this week in Lake Pontchartrain, of all places. And we'll tell you about the only one and only fatal shark attack that ever occurred in the state of Louisiana. Back to do it right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting back to Mike's text, the question, what is the best all-time bait for specks in the summer? Mike, I'm going to tell you the number one all-time bait is going to be live shrimp. That is probably for a couple of reasons. One, trout love them. They readily bite them. They're more available than any other bait. But I got to tell you, if you're looking to catch big speckled trout, this time of the year, particularly as we move into August and July and August months, live croakers, if you can get those little baby, and I don't mean really little, I mean you can get really big, maybe 4 or 5 inch croakers and even bigger. And the key to using those is, of course, you hook them like you would a cockahoe minnow. You'd hook them either through the lips, you can hook them underneath the dorsal fin. Some people like to hook them in the tail. The key to catching big speckled trout on live croakers is you got to let that fish take it. Now, a lot of times if you're fishing shrimp, particularly if you're fishing plastics, you feel the tug, you feel the weight. First thing you do, you set the hook. Don't do that with a croaker. A croaker is such a big bait, it takes that trout a while to get it into its mouth and position it correctly and get it in there where you can do a good hook set. You virtually let the fish, you can even open your bail and let the fish swim off with some of your line, and then at some point, click it stopped, and then when you feel it, set that hook. You got to give him a chance. Cockahoe minnows, in some areas, they're effective. I don't know what it is, but cockahoe minnows around the Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne area, aren't very effective for trout. But if you take them down to Grand Isle and Fouchon and Cocodrie and some of those areas, they can be a very effective bait too. Now that's live bait or dead bait. Plastic baits for speckled trout, you know, it's hard to beat the old plastic shrimp underneath the popping cork, or you can rig them, you know, on the bottom and fish like that. But I would say best bait all around is shrimp. But number two, if you're looking for big ones and they're hard to find, if you use a cast net, you got a better shot, because most of the bait shops can't really keep, they are very hard to keep croakers alive. But those little croakers are really an effective bait. All right, let's see what else we got on the text. Oh, yeah, I was asking about the comments from Governor Jeff Landry, commenting on blaming Biden administration for allowing illegals to come in and taking a toll on natural resources. And he was roundly criticized by a lot of people for saying that. So here's some of the texts that are coming in. This one says, "We already have enough of our own criminals. We don't need any new ones." And another one says, let's see, kind of hard to find them. "Governor was spot on. Use them for shark bait." I don't know if I'd go that far. And here's one says, "He's a DeSantis wannabe. He's grandstanding again." And yet another says, "The governor is 100% correct." And another one says, "I agree 100% with the governor's comments." If you're just tuning in, we just did a bad boy feature where there were six men who were cited for catching 120 red snappers. I remember, red snappers, a limit of four per person per day, and they're 16-inch size. 97 of these 120s were little small snappers. They caught them with them red-handed. Of course, everybody's got their day in court, and at this point it's still alleged, but, I mean, it's pretty much they had them. They were in their possession on the boat with them, and no doubt about that. And Governor Landry made the case that, you know, it's the failure of the president administration to keep the border secure is weighing down the state's resources by the consequences of a broken immigration policy. Some people thought that was unfair. But, you know, you got to look at it. I mean, in one of our texters said, you know, if they come here and don't pay attention to our laws about immigration and cross the border, and number one, the first illegal thing they do, it seems like they're being rewarded. Why would they think that any laws or regulations would be enforced? If we're not holding them accountable for the first offense of illegally coming into the country, why would they think we would for catching fish? And, you know, I'm sure that goes through their mind. What do you think about it? 504-260-1870. Let's see, we've got some more texts coming in from our Florida friends, Dan and Meredith. Hi, Dan and Meredith. Thanks for tuning in. And our Wingbone buddy who makes the Wingbone turkey calls is up this morning. He's there with us. And let's see, we got here's someone that is bank fishing and pier fishing from Golden Meadow to Grand Isle. If anybody could offer a tip or a place or two to fish, that would be great. That's don't have a name on that one, but I'll tell you this. Bank fishing, Elmer's Island, get down to the surf. That's going to be your best bet this time of the year. Pier fishing, you know, the bridge at Bridgeside Marina, that can be effective. All that can be very hot unless you're fishing late in the evening or at night off of that pier. But the surf, you kind of stay cool. You can get in the water. And by the way, they put out an alert about all across the coast due to this storm Beryl, that it could possibly increase the number of rip currents and rip tides from Texas all the way to Florida, including Louisiana. And the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has put out some safety tips, which I'll get to sometime this morning and run down that. Please pay attention to that. If you're not familiar with rip tides, they can be deadly, and there are ways to not only escape from them, but you got to know, and also to recognize them before you get in trouble. So we got all that coming up. I got a fishing report that we'll get back to with Captain Darrell Carpenter. If you're headed to Grand Isle, he's got some fishing tips for you. We'll pass that along as we do each and every week. Got a lot more to talk about, and also your text messages and some special guests joining us next hour. Sam Hopper, CCA Star Director, and Allison Schultz, the a proud owner of a brand-new boat, motor, and trailer for catching a tagged redfish, along with two others who have done it this year. But hers, you got to think. It's very special, some very unusual circumstances, and she'll tell that story later on. Stick around. We'll be back after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show with no telephone lines this morning. But fear not, our field reporters all came through, and they texted me some fishing reports to pass along for you. This one comes in from Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Darryl says the report in Grand Isle area, same as last week. This Tuesday and Wednesday were great. Most of the trout caught on top waters between the beach or the reefs in Barataria. As the week went on, the water got dirty, and if you landed on them, you were good. If not, you spent most of the day looking for them. Don't know what dirtied up the water, perhaps the dredge that's working on the beach. So that's your report from Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, got some more text messages to share with you, and this is an interesting one. Do the DWI laws apply to kayaking as well? That's a good question, huh? You know, they call radio theater of the mind, where listening, you know, the video is in your mind. You're seeing what is being talked about. And I got to tell you, you bring up some pretty humorous visions there of kayaking under the influence. I don't know. I guess it's, can you ride a horse drunk? I don't know. I'm going to check with Wildlife and Fisheries, but I'm going to take a wild guess and say yes. And if not DWI, you know, or driving while intoxicated a kayak, maybe there's some type of public drunkenness ordinance or something that they wouldn't be able to get around. But I'm going to check with enforcement and find out if, in fact, the DWI law applies to kayakers. That's not a real smart thing to do if you're going kayaking. All right, old man Sam is texting in this morning. He says, help eliminate dizzy, naked drivers. Become a designated driver. Don't drink and drive. Stay safe and buckle up. Well, we heard that before, Sam. All right, Backstrap Stacker says the best bait for specs is always live shrimp. As one says, ask them guys if the crabs got on that shoreline in Grand Isle or Elmer's Island. I'm waiting on right time. That's from Big Mike on beautiful Bayou Liberty. Hey, la ba. Yeah, Big Mike, I can tell you, crabbing on the shoreline at Elmer's Island and Grand Isle can be phenomenal. And one of the popular ways to do that is you take some cane poles and you stretch out the poles with a line in between them, and then off of that line you make drop lines. You know, you do it in about 3 feet of water, and, you know, with so your lines reach the bottom, and you just walk along your line and slowly pick up the line and have a scoop net underneath you. Two people can do it best, and you can really catch some beautiful crabs down there in Grand Isle. And they've been running, but if anybody's got any more information on crabbing in Grand Isle, and maybe you can help Big Mike out, text us, 504-260-1870. All right, here's one says, we need freshwater diversion to be completed without no oysters, brown shrimp, reddish, speckled trout, land buildup before closing off freshwater west. I can't really make out that text. Said it was all plentiful. Old people said this would happen back in the 50s. All right, and let's see. We got the Backstrap Stacker commenting on our bad boy issue in Governor Jeff Landry's comments. There's no penalty for illegally crossing the border. It seems like they're rewarded coming in illegally. So why would they think any law or regulation would be enforced? And Toby's checking in. He says, what's up, Big Don, as he always does? Hell yeah, brother, I'm with you. Let them fish in Mexico. And here's one that says, Don, I can't tell you how many illegal immigrants that crab and fish the Bonnie Carrie and harvest undersized fish and game fish with cast nets. Residents need to speak up and report to wildlife agents. I do. And it's easy enough to do. At Operation Game Thief tip line, it's on the back of your hunting and fishing license. You can do it online. It's easy enough to make the call and give them the details of who, what, where, and when. They need all the help they can get. They got very few agents and a lot of area to keep up with. All right, here we go. It says, morning, it's Pickle. Do y'all have any fishing reports around Happy Jack or Port Sulphur? And if we get any, we'll certainly pass them along to you. And let's see, Shiners are very good. If you forgot to mention good bait. Yeah, Shiners and Pogies. Pogies are really good bait. Again, that's a difficult one sometimes to get. Catch them with a cast net. Bait shops have a difficult time keeping those alive, but those are also very good speckled trout bait. And this one comes in and says, the word illegal in front of anything says it all. And a question, were they arrested? Well, they were cited. I don't think they were taken to jail. But, you know, I'm going to follow up on this and if I can and find out from, I guess they're going to go before the Plaquemines Parish District Attorney. Is anything going to be done to them? Or are they going to plead ignorance, language barrier, didn't understand the regulations, or the other one, don't have any money? How are they going to pay the fine? And the fine for that civil restitution, pretty stiff. Between the fines and the restitution, they could be looking to share a $4,698 fine. How are they going to pay for that? Are they going to use their government-issued debit card to put it on there? Will they accept that? I don't know. All right, we'll be back to talk more about that. Also got some special guests, Sam Hopper, Allison Schultz, going to talk about a registered redfish that was tagged and caught, and now she's going to claim a boat, motor, and trailer, but the circumstances under which she caught it, extremely interested. More fishing reports from Captain Mike Gallo, Ryan Lambert, Eric Mohabarak will be coming at you, and your text message is welcome as always, 504-260-1870. And we'll talk more about Shark Week in Lake Pontchartrain on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Thanks for tuning in as we do each and every Saturday morning. You know, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be celebrating the 35th anniversary of the show. Can you believe it? Where did the time go? 35 years ago, we started this program, and look where it is now. Same place it's been, 5 to 7 a.m. each and every Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. All right, we got some text messages to get to, and I'll tell you, we're getting some comments in on this bad boy case that we talked about. We got another one coming up for you, by the way. It's kind of a double header, but we had five illegal immigrants and one legal resident from Chalmette were cited for having 120 red snappers, 97 of them undersized. Governor Jeff Landry made some comments on social media that this highlights the failure of the Biden administration and how the state's resources are being weighted down. He took some criticism, people saying, what difference does it make if they're illegal immigrants? I say it makes an awful lot of difference. This text comes in, and it says immigrants should follow the same rules and regulations as everybody else on our natural resources in Louisiana. I don't think they should be able to enjoy the same rules and regulations. I mean, how can they prove any residence? They're not taxpaying citizens. I mean, they're here illegally. And do you think they should enjoy our natural resources as residents and non-residents do? Again, the main word, the first word is illegal. They start off illegal and it goes downhill from there. All right, we got Deb, another one of our Florida listeners. She says, this is a far more important text than all those people who want to talk politics and their fishing. Did I miss a bad boy feature? Memo, are you running bad boys twice? Yes, we are. We have another one coming up. And we're going to have one during the second hour. So have a great day. You do the same, Deb. And we got the backstrap stacker. He's thinking. He says he thinks it would depend if the kayak is motorized or not. Seems like a lot of work to drink and paddle or pedal. That's in response to the question that came up about DWIs on the water carrying the same weight and penalties as DWI on the highways. Does it apply to kayakers? I'm going to check on it, but I think it does, and I don't know if it has to be a motorized. I think if you're operating a vessel and you're under the influence, in other words, you break the barrier on the legal limit for blood alcohol, I think you could be cited. All right, here's another one on Governor Landry. Says Governor Landry is right. America, Louisiana first, mass deportation, ASAP. And in response to what's the best speckled trout bait, here's a vote for finger mullets. Yeah, that's another good one. Very good bait. And another comment on Governor Landry. I agree with the governor 100%. They're going to kill the fishing industries. Here's another one. Says wildlife violation fines are far too low. Perhaps if that was a $40,000 fine for those red snapper, it might deter someone from breaking the law. The fines imposed are an insult to the value of our wildlife. The natural resource is priceless. That's from Sam. Well, maybe you missed the end of that report, but given the civil restitution payback, that's going to be close to $40,000. It's well, you're right. No, it's only $4,600. $40,000 for red snapper, I don't think that would hold up because, you know, their values assigned to each and every species, and that's what they base the civil restitution. And in this case, it was $3,098, and I didn't catch that other zero. You're suggesting $40,000 fine. Don't think it's going to happen, and if they can't pay it, you can assess any amount you want. But if they don't have the money and they don't pay it, what good does it do? All right, here's one that says, fishing Mississippi is flat, dead, slick. The flounder bite is hotter than the weather. That's from my buddy, The Weave. All right, yeah, he's a kayaker out there. And, man, I hope I can find some time to get with The Weave and go out and catch some of those flounders again. All right, we got a lot more texts. We'll try to get to those. We still got a lot to talk about. I got a Mike Gallo fishing report coming up for you. Some information about you hunters for next season and some new information about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We'll be back to talk about it after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Yeah, born on the Bayou Report without Captain Mike Gallo this morning is still a presentation of CETO. You know, for $249 for a whole year, that membership gets you unlimited fuel drops, 24/7 tow-ins. They'll jumpstart you if you got electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safely. CETO. Some people call it AAA on the water, and mostly it's peace of mind. Hopefully you'll never have to use it, but if you do, they're there. And it's great for you and your loved ones. Makes a great gift. It's just one call away. You can call Captain Chris, 301-4545. If you like to do it online, it's CETO.com. And that is on every boat that you own or borrow or even rent. It's all covered. CETO, check them out. All right, Captain Mike Gallo tells us that the heat is on. Most of the fish are being caught early in the morning before it gets too hot. The deeper passes in the Wrigley's area, that's producing both trout, both white and speckled trout. Live shrimp on a drop shot, that's been the best bait, but has caught some on plastics too on that same drop shot. The man-made reefs in Lake Bourne and further east have also been producing. As you get further east and the water is shallow, try a popping cork. Mike suggests that you keep an eye for diving birds. Redfish have been caught near the deeper washouts with moving water. Look for bait fish in the area that will ensure quality water. The three S's of redfish have been the ticket. Those three S's are spoons, spinnerbaits, and shrimp under a cork. Thanks, Captain Mike, for that fishing report from Captain Mike Gallo. If you want to get a hold of Mike, by the way, just go to aaofla.com. If you're driving and you couldn't remember, just go to my website. I'm sure a lot of you have been there, dontheoutdoorsguy.com, and we have a link to get in touch with Captain Mike. All right, we got more fishing reports coming up and a lot more information to pass along to you. I want to get to some more of our text messages. Let's see, we got this question with regard to the illegals catching illegal fish. It says, since when do outlaws follow rules? And we got this one. It says, Louisiana red snappers are too hard to resist, no matter where you are from, LOL. And this one says, just like those Washington Parish watermelons, the sweetest and juiciest in all of Louisiana, as well as the entire SEC. All right, here's one that says, when you're an illegal, everything you do is illegal. Well, that makes sense. And this one says, Don, I think the residency issue definitely matters. As an out-of-state resident of Alabama, I have to pay license fees to enjoy the resource. Why should they get to do it at an in-state rate if they're not tax-paying citizens, much less have access to the resource? I don't know that they can get an in-state license without proof of residency. If you're an illegal, you don't have, I don't know, maybe, you know, and I hear they give them licenses and other forms of ID. I don't know. I do know one thing. It's a mess. All right, here's another one. Says, will the double bad boy be standard protocol from now on? Really do enjoy them. That's from Pinecone Joe listening to us in the Kiln, Mississippi. This is a special occasion. We happen to have a little bit more time than we normally do, and so we decided to do two. I had two bad boy stories, couldn't decide which one, so we decided to do both of them. All right, for those of you listening in Alabama, we got a great listening audience over there in Alabama. I got some information from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, which is coming up shortly. It'll be in 2 weeks, July 19th through 21st, at the rodeo site on Dauphin Island. This is the second oldest fishing rodeo, one year behind the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. This one started as a tarpon tournament back in 1929. Before there was even a bridge that allowed you to get to Dauphin Island, it started with about 250 fishermen. Now, it only had one break. That was during World War II. The rodeo was canceled. But other than that, it's been grown exponentially and designated as the world's largest saltwater fishing tournament. I think they're expecting somewhere around 4,000 people, maybe. Anyway, they got some news they wanted to pass along. There's a new live weigh-in category. Some of the categories are live weigh-ins. They also have a new dock and a boardwalk. Now, that dock and boardwalk is going to increase the amount of boats that can be tied up to head to the weigh station. That's been a problem before, boats not being able to get up to the dock just because of simply too many. This is going to extend that. And the boardwalk will allow access to the north site of the rodeo property. In the CCA's Alabama Live Weigh-In Awards category, they added flounder to that. Now, that can be brought into the site alive and entered to win a number of prizes. Before that, it was just for live weigh-in for redfish and speckled trout. And another one of the new features, and this is going to aid the marine biologists, is the addition of a catch-and-release category for Jack Crevel. The ticket holders who weigh in illegal fish will be eligible for more than $450,000 in cash and prizes, including a contender 25-foot bay boat with a 250-horsepower Yamaha. So you can get tickets at fishingchaos.com. And both the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and is also the adjunct Roy Martin Rodeo, which is also held simultaneously. You can get both of those tickets. You got to get them before you start to fish. It's the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo's 91st annual on Dauphin Island, July 19th through 21st. All right, coming back after this, got more fishing reports. Got our paddler's report from Captain Eric Mohabarak. We'll share that with you. Also got a little information about Shark Week in Louisiana. Back with that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our paddler's report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and without Eric Mohabarak is still the presentation of Massey's Outfitters. Got three great locations, Mid-City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and also on the North Shore in Covington. Got some of the best kayak fishing models from brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft. Check out the website. Going to find products and accessories for paddlers and paddling fishermen at Massey's. And by the way, they do the demo days. They've got one tomorrow. And they do those on Bayou St. John off of Moss Street in New Orleans, where you can go out and try before you buy. They'll let you jump in a kayak, take it for a spin, and see how you like it. Maybe find the one that fits your best need and price range. And by the way, if you call them or check them out on Facebook page, you can actually request a specific model you'd like to try. As far as the kayak fishing, Eric says the port sulfur catching reds in the marsh past the shrimp dock. They're still pounding on those flounders on the Mississippi coast, as we heard from the Weave. This week, there was a sailfish caught in Pensacola out of a Hobie Pro Angler. Boy, I'd like to see video of that. He suggests you stay hydrated, as everybody does, as these hot summer dog days are here. All right, that's our paddler's report with Captain Eric Mohabarak, Louisiana Kayak Company. He's one of the few people that actually charters kayak fishing. Speaking of charters, I got a photograph in from the guys over at Wicked Charters. Now, Wicked Charters operates out of Lake Pontchartrain, and we have done a Bayou Wild feature with them. You'd have to go back to find it on our Bayou Wild TV YouTube. But we were searching for the Kraken, and the Kraken, of course, is the mythological sea monster. And they've been searching for it for a few years now in Lake Pontchartrain. So far, they've come up with some really enormous garfish, some big bull reds. and bull sharks, particularly this time of the year. And yes, it's Shark Week all across the coast and really across the country. And there's Shark Week going on in Lake Pontchartrain. There's a picture on my Facebook page of a pretty good size bull shark that was landed this week. We caught some bull sharks, but nothing that big. And by the way, there have been some enormous bull sharks that have come into Lake Pontchartrain. I know Ashley Ferguson, who worked with Wildlife and Fisheries, was doing some research studies on bull sharks coming into Lake Pontchartrain and the reason why and the time. It's a great nursery grounds for them. The mix of the brackish water is pretty much perfect. The bull shark is one of those species that tolerates pretty low salinities. And in doing that feature for Bayou Wild, and I suggest you go back and watch it if you haven't seen it, I researched as best I could to find out shark fatalities in Louisiana. I came up with only one, and it was a long time ago. It happened on September the 9th in the year 1914 in Lake Pontchartrain. And Peter Konspoulos, who was a Turkish young man, he was a 17-year-old teenager, and he was one of these, they used to have, you know, this was before internet, social media, TV, all that, movies, all that kind of stuff. And they did personal entertainment, and they had professional swimmers who entertained the crowd. And there were hundreds of people that gathered out on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain to watch Peter do his swimming. Well, they watched him. They witnessed it, these hundreds of people. He was attacked, bitten three times on the arms and then finally on the torso. By the time some of the bystanders got a boat with a very small motor and got to him, they put him in the boat, but he died from the shark attack. I'm sure it was a loss of blood. I researched it. I got the copy of the death certificate from the state, and it said the death cause of death was shark bite. And that is the only fatal shark bite I could ever find in the history of Louisiana. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen eons before as Native Americans lived along the shorelines and spent a lot of time in Lake Pontchartrain, with the bull sharks probably being there for all eternity. I'm sure there were some other encounters. The only other recent shark bite I remember was, I want to say it was about 10 years ago, there was a 7-year-old boy who was swimming in Lake Pontchartrain around Seabrook, and he was bitten on the arm. It was a pretty serious bite, but he survived it, and that was a bull shark that was responsible for that. So that's pretty much the story of that, and if you want to check it out, go to BayouWildTV.com, look on our YouTube page, and you'll find that, the story of it. And also, there's been some reported attacks in Florida and Texas, so if you're out there, they suggest keep your eyes peeled. You know, the dorsal tail fins are telltale signs. Look for the warning flags when they spot sharks in the water, and they suggest you don't go any deeper than waist deep, but some of these shark attacks have occurred in water that shallow. By the way, I was talking earlier about some tips from the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries about recognizing some problems with rip currents. This is a deadly occurrence that happens. Elmer's Island could be one of the places. And because of the storm, there could be more of these rip currents. And when we come back after this, we're going to do a bad boy feature. Also give you a Ryan Lambert fishing report. And I'll tell you about rip currents, how to recognize them. And if you do get caught in one, how to get yourself out of it. We'll be back to do that. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don DeBute, Radio Network. And here's some more of your text messages. This one in the question of whether kayakers can be cited for DWI. It says, yes, DUI for pedal power and livestock if you're riding a horse and even a lawnmower. Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to try to find out. All right, this one says, perhaps any undocumented immigrant who breaks a second law should be immediately deported. Don't come here and rape my country. This one says, Don, the governor, you are right. These are criminals and should be jailed or deported. Anyone who disagrees is a liberal Democrat. Well, I don't always see eye to eye on everything Jeff Landry does, but I call him as I see him. When he does something I agree with, I'll tell you. When he does something he don't, I'll tell you that too. Here's one asking, if they were illegal, how were they identified? Are they able to get a driver's license? Do you think they'll show up for their court date? They will just disappear. It's obvious they have no problem breaking our laws. Yeah, from the very start. That's from the Z-Man. All right, this one says, your guides oftentimes talk about fishing deep for trout when the water gets hot. Does this hold true for bass along the intercoastal between the Rigolets and the Wall?
Bass are not quite as subjective to heat, hot water, as some of the, like the redfish and the trout are. And generally, early mornings, late evenings, they're still going to be up in the shallows. But, yeah, they're going to go deep, too, when that's where the comfort level is. Now, here's one that says, I have a question. Humans cannot take the heat or cold, yet animals seem to survive in the heat and cold. Can you explain why? Well, humans did before we had air conditioning and insulated Gore-Tex clothing and those type of things. When they had to, they did. And that's why the animals do, because they have to. They're out and live in it, and they don't have any choice. All right, here's one that says the illegals should always be considered non-residents no matter where they fish or hunt. Well, the question is, should they even get hunting and fishing privileges not being residents or non-residents of this state or any other? Question, how do you get the sand out of the crabs in Grand Isle? Put them in water, leave them in there as long as you can, and push, you know, flush them. That's about all you can do. And if you still don't get it out, well, you got to eat around it. All right, we come back after this. It's Bad Boy Story number two. But first, we'll let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, in our Lanyap edition of Bad Boys, Bad Boys number two, you might call it, agents up from Louisiana, Katie Mathias, Lieutenant David Sanford, Sergeant Stuart Guillory, and Agent David Williams made a case against Madison M. Watkins, 36 years of age, of Welsh, Louisiana, for taking a bear during a closed season and two counts of failing to validate deer harvest. They got a tip, as so many of our Bad Boy stories begin, with people calling in to the Operation Game Thief. And this information indicated that Watkins had killed a black bear in Concordia Parish last December. And during their investigation, the agents contacted Watkins just recently on June 17th when he admitted he took a black bear with a compound bow on the Bayou Cocodri National Wildlife Refuge on December 12th of last season. He also admitted to taking two deer in Calcasieu Parish in October and failed to validate the tags on both deer. The agent seized two sets of four-point deer antlers and the compound bow. Facing a fine of $950 and up to 120 days in jail, plus another $350 for the deer tags, and also possibly facing a civil restitution fee. Now, get this number for a black bear, $10,000 replacement value. Is 36-year-old Madison M. Watkins of Welsh, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors? Well, the report from our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, he's called that for obvious reasons. He don't like to get his hands full of nasty old shrimp, and he loves to catch things on artificial. He had a few trips to go out of the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge this week. Most of the boys took some time off with their families for the 4th of July holiday, but those that went, still catching good redfish on the east side, trouter on the beaches and on the rigs on both sides of the Mississippi River. Mostly they're throwing a lot of shrimp, as usual, which he is not doing. And you can check him out at CajunFishingAdventures.com if you'd like to get a trip. All right, I mentioned one of the dangers this time of year, rip currents, also known as rip tides. To identify those, you can see, if you see the water rushing outward, out to sea, in, you know, with maybe white caps in it, just a real hard current running aloft, got breaking waves. That is an indication. You might also see grass or other debris that is caught in it, and it's being pulled out to sea. If you see that, steer clear of it. If you get caught in it, first thing you do, and this is according to some Know Your Options tips, relax. They don't pull you under. They just pull you out. Do not try to swim against it. Swim out of the current. In other words, you swim parallel to the shore. You don't go try to swim north back to the beach. You swim east or west. When you get out of the current that's pulling you, then you can come back into the shoreline. If you can't escape it, just float or tread water until the current stops pulling you out. And, of course, know how to swim. Never swim alone. And if you're in doubt, don't go. And try to swim near a lifeguard. That's some if you're going to be either swimming or surf fishing doing this time of the year. All right, we come back after this, the fascinating story of a redfish, a tagged redfish caught, and get an update on the CCA Star Tournament
from Sam Hopper and Allison Schultz, who caught that tag read and will be operating a brand new boat and motor after it's awarded. We'll be back to tell you, let them tell you their story right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome back into The Outdoor Show. Thanks for being with us this morning. And we got a heck of a story to tell, and here to joining us to talk about it is, first of all, the tournament director for the CCA Star for 2024, Sam Hopper. Sam, how are you doing this morning?
Good, Don. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us this morning. Also joining us is Allison Schultz. Allison, you with us?
I am. Hi.
Hey. Stay with us, Allison. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot to talk about with you. But first, I want to get Sam to give us a little bit of an update on how this 2024 Star Tournament is going. Looks like you got most of the categories filled, and we've had some exciting news in the redfish category, Sam.
We have. So we've had Matthew Staub caught the first tagged redfish out of Grand Isle from the bank. Shortly after that, exactly a week later, David Jones of Destrehan caught another tagged redfish from the bank in Leeville. And then a week and a day later, Miss Allison Schultz caught the third tagged redfish from the boat out of Hopedale. So it's been exciting, but look, the bank has been dominating the majority of the tournament thus far.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen that before. Were there other redfish caught with tags that were caught by unregistered fishermen, as happens every year?
Oh, absolutely, but only one has been reported. I've heard through the grapevine that we've had a few, and some of them didn't want to. They were embarrassed that they weren't registered for the tournament.
How about any of those blue tags? Explain the blue tags and the red tags.
So, and also this year with the new redfish regulations, we've implemented the catch photo clip release. And it's as simple as, you know, you'd catch the fish, take photos, videos of the fish, clip the tag, release the fish. Okay. But the blue tags, same goes for that division as well. But it is beer for a year from our friends at Michelob Ultra.
Any of those been caught?
They have. And of course, they were not registered.
Ouch. That hurts. Sam, so far, of course, we still got a long ways to go. This tournament goes all the way through Labor Day, so there's opportunity for people to get out, and there's still a lot of those tagged redfish swimming around, and as evidenced by the first two that were caught right there near the shore, they were caught off the bank. Any other surprises or outstanding catches that occurred during this year's tournament?
Don, thus far, I would say the mangrove and red snapper has been intriguing. I mean, we've seen some monsters. I believe on the next update that I, you know, update the leaderboard every Tuesday, we have a close to 12-pound mangrove snapper, which will take over first place, but second and third aren't far behind. And then as far as the red snapper, I want to say we have a couple, a 25 and a 24 and a 23, which are, you know, which are good fish. But as far as the other divisions, look, it looks wide open. Jeremy Sexton caught one out of Grand Isle, a speckled trout, which is 6'4", I believe. Don't quote me on that, but a good fish. But other than that, I mean, everything's wide open. And Don, also, we have yet to see a yellowfin tuna wade in.
Wide open on yet? What is it? How can you explain that? There's been a lot of tuna caught.
I know. I don't know. We're begging somebody to please just go weigh one in.
Yeah, whatever the size of it is. That's incredible. Well, great opportunity there. Sam, tell me this. Red snapper, we've got a short closure coming up. How's that going to affect the red snapper division?
I hope the big ones are biting Friday through Sunday.
yeah.
You know, I hate that that's happening, but, hey, it is what it is, and we hope most of everybody, you know, throughout the summer can get out and go get them. During the weekend.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sam, it looks very successful, and there's still a lot of chance. And as we always say, it's like an insurance policy. Don't leave. And if you're going to fish, you need to get a star ticket because you never know. A lot of the people over the years I've interviewed that have caught the redfish with the tags told me they'd never dreamed they'd ever catch one. You know, most people don't ever plan on catching one. So if someone wants to get signed up, how do they buy a star ticket? And they have to be a member of CCA, correct?
Correct. They have to be an ACT member of CCA, and they can go to ccastar.com and fill out. And if you're already an active member, it's only $35, but it's the cheapest insurance policy on the coast.
Tell me about these prizes. Allison is one of the winners. What has been won so far in the tagged redfish division?
So Matthew Staub of Venom Springs won the 2024 Chevy Silverado. David Jones won the Michelob Ultra Boat, which is a 23-foot Avid Mag with a 200 Mercury. And then Miss Allison won another 23 Avid Mag with a 200 Mercury.
So I don't guess. Go ahead.
Now we are on to the Freedom Patriot boats.
And how many of those have you got?
We have three of them. So 4 through 6 will take those, and then we move on to the gator tails.
Well, I guess Matthew won't be fishing from the bank as much anymore now, will he?
him nor Mr. David.
Well, when we come back, I want you to talk about the awards party, where that's going to be, and when those awards will be made. And we're also going to catch up with you, Allison, and get you to tell your fascinating, incredible story of the tagged redfish you caught recently. You're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, and we're back right after this pause. And welcome back into the show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sam Hopper, the tournament director for the CCA Star Tournament, and we're also talking to Allison Schultz, one of the recipients of a brand new boat as a result of catching a tagged redfish. Allison, thanks for joining us this morning to talk about this. Up until the time you caught this fish and you became a big celebrity, what was your level of fishing skill?
Occasionally, you know, we're pretty tied up with both our boys play a lot of sports, so we don't really get the luxury of going when conditions are good. We just get the luxury of going when we don't have a game and it's not raining. But any chance that we get, we try to go, especially during the summer when they don't have sports. But I would say I'm a novice recreational fisher lady.
Describe that fateful day when you caught the tag. Who was there and how did it go?
It was crazy. So, you know, we've been probably registering for about 3 years. We've had our boat for 3 years now. And then some few years before then, occasionally I'd go with a friend of mine, and if we'd happen to go fishing during the tournament time, you bet I was registered. It just gives it a little extra fun out there, fishing, hoping for a tag redfish. Again, I'm one of those people in the past that never really thought it would happen. But oh man, I'm so glad it did. And anyway, so we were fishing that day, and we went into Sump Lagoon in Hopedale, and my son Benjamin was on fire. Like, he was getting one redfish after the other redfish. And I kept asking my husband, like, oh, does it have a tag? Does it have a tag? He's like, Allie, I promise I will tell you if it has a tag. Well, Ben got into some monster, ended up almost pulling him off the boat, but it didn't. But unfortunately, it popped the line. We saw the cork was still attached. So I was joking around. I was like, if I see on the news that there's a tagged redfish with a cork still attached, my heart's going to sink. We're running out of shrimp, so we decided to go to one more spot. Sure enough, Ben cast out, lands in a hole, hooks a redfish. My husband's getting that redfish off, so Ben's like, Mom, go cast over there. Cast where I did. Sure enough, I did. I landed, got something on the hook, started reeling it in. Ben goes, Mom, it's got a tag. Just kind of really kidding around. Comes to the surface, and it has a tag. So I naturally start freaking out. I'm like, Ben, get to the net. Get to the net. Get to the net. Get the fish in the boat. My husband starts recording, and then we see it's a tag. Didn't know for sure if it was a CCA tag, but we were just excited about the moment. Ended up cleaning it off, and we saw that it said 2024 CCA Star Louisiana and the number. And we just went crazy, jumping up and down, hollering. They had a couple of boats in the distance. I'm sure they heard us screaming, because I was just screaming my lungs out. It was unbelievable, like just unbelievable.
You know, Allison, most people don't realize they have the tagged redfish till they get it in the boat and they see the tag. I can only imagine the stress that you were going under when you saw the tag when it was still in the water and it wasn't yet in the boat.
Yes, because you can pop the line if the net hits it. Oh, and sure, we've done that a couple of times.
Now, tell me, what day was it and why was it a special day?
Okay, so this is the crazy part of the story. So my son turned 11 this year, and he was born June 11 at 11:11 p.m. So we always, that's you know, an important number to us. Well, for his 11th birthday, which was on a Tuesday, we decided to rent a charter fishing trip. So we did that, ended up catching 11 fish that day. So it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Neat, you know, the 11 keys coming up. Well, we went not the Saturday after, but the Saturday following that, which happens to be 11 days after his 11th birthday. On the 11th, we catch the tagged redfish. When my husband starts the video, when the fish lands in the boat, it's 11 a.m.
And to top it off, what time was Benjamin born?
At 11 p.m.
That is incredible. So let's get it straight. Now, it's 11 days after his 11th birthday on June 11th. At 11 a.m., you catch a tagged redfish, on which he pointed you in which direction to throw it, him being born at 11 p.m., and total number of fish caught, 11. Incredible.
Right.
Well, congratulations, Allison. And now, what's going to be the name of this boat?
I don't know. Something with 11.
I would think so. Maybe Ocean's 11? How about that? Sam, what is the value of Allison's rig that she won?
Over $60,000.
I was thinking that. I think it was around $60,000, $65,000. You didn't know that, Allison?
No.
All right, now, are you going to allow the family to operate your boat, or is this strictly going to be Allison's ride?
Well, I have to, because I've never been driven my boat.
Well, you don't have to when you can catch fish like you did. Allison, congratulations. Sound like you got a wonderful family. Y'all had a wonderful trip, and now you got an outstanding boat, so I'm sure you'll be fishing a lot more often now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking time to tell your remarkable story. It truly is remarkable. And, you know, you got to stick with the number 11.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Sam, again, thank you for being with us. And great job you're doing on the tournament. It's not just the redfish. There's a lot of other categories. And if people want to find out all about the categories, look where the opportunities are on the leaderboard and even get some tickets, give them the best website to go to.
CCAstar.com, or give us a call at the office at 225-952-9200, or visit your local weigh station to sign up and get out there and have the luck as Allison did this year.
Sam, I'm sure we'll be talking to you and getting another update before we get to that Labor Day closing. And Allison, thanks again. Congratulations. And don't tell me you only had 11 shrimp gone, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back again to do this next week. We do it every Saturday morning. We start off at 5 a.m. We wrap it up at 7. We talk fishing, hunting, all outdoors issues, and give you some tips and techniques from our professional fishing guides, our field reporters, we call them. Thanks especially to Cullen Steele, our guy back at the mothership. He had some real special duties and hoops and hurdles he had to clear, and he came through like a champ. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And here's some more of your text messages. This one in the question of whether kayakers can be cited for DWI. It says, yes, DUI for pedal power and livestock if you're riding a horse and even a lawnmower. Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to try to find out. All right, this one says, perhaps any undocumented immigrant who breaks a second law should be immediately deported. Don't come here and rape my country. This one says, Don, the governor, you are right. These are criminals and should be jailed or deported. Anyone who disagrees is a liberal Democrat. Well, I don't always see eye to eye on everything Jeff Landry does, but I call him as I see him. When he does something I agree with, I'll tell you. When he does something he don't, I'll tell you that too. Here's one asking, if they were illegal, how were they identified? Are they able to get a driver's license? Do you think they'll show up for their court date? They will just disappear. It's obvious they have no problem breaking our laws. Yeah, from the very start. That's from the Z-Man. All right, this one says, your guides oftentimes talk about fishing deep for trout when the water gets hot. Does this hold true for bass along the intercoastal between the Wrigley's and the Wall? Bass are not quite as subjective to heat, hot water, as some of the, like the redfish and the trout are. And generally, early mornings, late evenings, they're still going to be up in the shallows. But, yeah, they're going to go deep, too, when that's where the comfort level is. Now, here's one that says, I have a question. Humans cannot take the heat or cold, yet animals seem to survive in the heat and cold. Can you explain why? Well, humans did before we had air conditioning and insulated Gore-Tex clothing and those type of things.
when they had to, they did. And that's why the animals do, because they have to. They're out and live in it, and they don't have any choice. All right, here's one that says the illegals should always be considered non-residents no matter where they fish or hunt. Well, the question is, should they even get hunting and fishing privileges not being residents or non-residents of this state or any other? Question, how do you get the sand out of the crabs in Grand Isle? Put them in water, leave them in there as long as you can, and flush them. That's about all you can do. And if you still don't get it out, well, you got to eat around it. All right, we come back after this. It's Bad Boy Story number 2. But first, we'll let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, in our Lanyap edition of Bad Boys, Bad Boys number 2, you might call it, agents from Louisiana, Katie Mathias, Lieutenant David Sanford, Sergeant Stuart Guillory, and Agent David Williams made a case against Madison M. Watkins, 36 years of age, of Welsh, Louisiana, for taking a bear during a closed season and 2 counts of failing to validate deer harvest. They got a tip, as so many of our Bad Boy stories begin with people calling in to the Operation Game Thief, and this information indicated that Watkins had killed a black bear in Concordia Parish last December. And during their investigation, the agents contacted Watkins just recently on June 17th when he admitted he took a black bear with a compound bow on the Bayou Cocodri National Wildlife Refuge on December 12th of last season. He also admitted to taking 2 deer in Calcasieu Parish in October and failed to validate the tags on both deer. The agent seized 2 sets of 4-point deer antlers and the compound bow. Facing a fine of $950 and up to 120 days in jail, plus another $350 for the deer tags, and also possibly facing a civil restitution fee. Now, get this number for a black bear, $10,000 replacement value. Is 36-year-old Madison M. Watkins of Welsh, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors? Well, the report from our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, he's called that for obvious reasons. He don't like to get his hands full of nasty old shrimp, and he loves to catch things on artificial. He had a few trips to go out of the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge this week. Most of the boys took some time off with their families for the 4th of July holiday, but those that went, still catching good redfish on the east side, trouter on the beaches and on the rigs on both sides of the Mississippi River. Mostly they're throwing a lot of shrimp, as usual, which he is not doing. And you can check him out at CajunFishingAdventures.com if you'd like to get a trip. All right, I mentioned one of the dangers this time of year, rip currents, also known as rip tides. To identify those, you can see, if you see the water rushing outward, out to sea, with maybe white caps in it, just a real hard current running aloft, got breaking waves. That is an indication. You might also see grass or other debris that is caught in it, and it's being pulled out to sea. If you see that, steer clear of it. If you get caught in it, first thing you do, and this is according to some Know Your Options tips, relax. They don't pull you under. They just pull you out. Do not try to swim against it. Swim out of the current. In other words, you swim parallel to the shore. You don't go try to swim north back to the beach. You swim east or west. When you get out of the current that's pulling you, then you can come back into the shoreline. If you can't escape it, just float or tread water until the current stops pulling you out. And, of course, know how to swim. Never swim alone. And if you're in doubt, don't go. And try to swim near a lifeguard. That's some if you're going to be either swimming or surf fishing doing this time of the year. All right, we come back after this, the fascinating story of a redfish, a tagged redfish caught, and get an update on the CCA Star Tournament from Sam Hopper and Allison Schultz, who caught that tagged red and will be operating a brand new boat and motor after it's awarded. We'll be back to tell you, let them tell you their story right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome back into the Outdoor Show. Thanks for being with us this morning. And we got a heck of a story to tell, and here to joining us to talk about it is, first of all, the tournament director for the CCA Star for 2024, Sam Hopper. Sam, how are you doing this morning?
Good, Don. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for tuning for joining us this morning. Also joining us is Allison Schultz. Allison, you with us?
I am. Hi.
Hey, stay with us, Allison. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot to talk about with you. But first, I want to get Sam to give us a little bit of an update on how this 2024 Star Tournament is going. Looks like you got most of the categories filled, and we've had some exciting news in the Redfish category, Sam.
We have. So we've had Matthew Staub caught the first tagged redfish out of Grand Isle from the bank. Shortly after that, exactly a week later, David Jones of Destrehan caught another tagged redfish from the bank in Leeville. And then a week and a day later, Miss Allison Schultz caught the third tagged redfish from the boat out of Hopedale. So it's been exciting, but look, the bank has been dominating the majority of the tournament thus far.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen that before. Were there other redfish caught with tags that were caught by unregistered fishermen, as happens every year?
Oh, absolutely, but only one has been reported. I've heard through the grapevine that we've had a few, and some of them didn't want to. They were embarrassed that they weren't registered for the tournament.
How about any of those blue tags? Explain the blue tags and the red tags.
So, and also this year with the new redfish regulations, we've implemented the catch photo clip release, and it's as simple as, you know, you'd catch the fish, take photos, videos of the fish, clip the tag, release the fish, okay? But the blue tags, same goes for that division as well, but it is beer for a year from our friends at Michelob Ultra.
Any of those been caught?
They have, and of course they were not registered.
Ouch. That hurts. Sam, so far, of course, we still got a long ways to go. This tournament goes all the way through Labor Day, so there's opportunity for people to get out, and there's still a lot of those tagged redfish swimming around, and as evidenced by the first two that were caught right there near the shore, they were caught off the bank. Any other surprises or outstanding catches that occurred during this year's tournament?
Don, thus far, I would say the mangrove and red snapper has been intriguing. I mean, we've seen some monsters. I believe on the next update that I update the leaderboard every Tuesday, we have a close to 12-pound mangrove snapper, which will take over first place, but second and third aren't far behind. And then as far as the red snapper, I want to say we have a couple, a 25 and a 24 and a 23, which are good fish. But as far as the other divisions, look, it looks wide open. Jeremy Sexton caught one out of Grand Isle, a speckled trout, which is 6'4", I believe. Don't quote me on that, but a good fish. But other than that, I mean, everything's wide open. And Don, also, we have yet to see a yellowfin tuna weighed in.
Wide open on what is it? How can you explain that? There's been a lot of tuna caught.
I know. I don't know. We're begging somebody to please just go weigh one in.
Yeah, whatever the size of it is. That's incredible. Well, great opportunity there. Sam, tell me this. Red snapper, we've got a short closure coming up. How's that going to affect the red snapper division?
I hope the big ones are biting Friday through Sunday.
yeah.
You know, I hate that that's happening, but, hey, it is what it is, and we hope most of everybody, you know, throughout the summer can get out and go get them during the weekend.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sam, it looks very successful, and there's still a lot of chance. And as we always say, it's like an insurance policy. Don't leave. And if you're going to fish, you need to get a star ticket because you never know. A lot of the people over the years I've interviewed that have caught the redfish with the tags told me they'd never dreamed they'd ever catch one. You know, most people don't ever plan on catching one. So if someone wants to get signed up, how do they buy a star ticket? And they have to be a member of CCA, correct?
Correct. They have to be an ACT member of CCA, and they can go to ccastar.com and fill out. And if you're already an active member, it's only $35, but it's the cheapest insurance policy on the coast.
Tell me about these prizes. Allison is one of the winners. What has been won so far in the tagged redfish division?
So Matthew Staub of Venom Springs won the 2024 Chevy Silverado. David Jones won the Michelob Ultra Boat, which is a 23-foot Avid Mag with a 200 Mercury. And then Miss Allison won another 23 Avid Mag with a 200 Mercury.
So I don't guess. Go ahead.
Now we are on to the Freedom Patriot boats.
And how many of those have you got?
We have three of them. So 4 through 6 will take those, and then we move on to the Gator Tails.
Well, I guess Matthew won't be fishing from the bank as much anymore now, will he?
him nor Mr. David.
Well, when we come back, I want you to talk about the awards party, where that's going to be, and when those awards will be made. And we're also going to catch up with you, Allison, and get you to tell your fascinating, incredible story of the tagged redfish you caught recently. You're listening to it on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, and we're back right after this pause. And welcome back into the show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sam Hopper, the tournament director for the CCA Star Tournament, and we're also talking to Allison Schultz, one of the recipients of a brand new boat as a result of catching a tagged redfish. Allison, thanks for joining us this morning to talk about this. Up until the time you caught this fish and you became a big celebrity, what was your level of fishing skill?
Occasionally, you know, we're pretty tied up with both our boys play a lot of sports, so we don't really get the luxury of going when conditions are good. We just get the luxury of going when we don't have a game and it's not raining. But any chance that we get, we try to go, especially during the summer when they don't have sports. But I would say I'm a novice recreational fisher lady.
Describe that fateful day when you caught the tag. Who was there and how did it go?
It was crazy. So, you know, we've been probably registering for about 3 years. We've had our boat for 3 years now. And then some few years before then, occasionally I'd go with a friend of mine, and if we'd happen to go fishing during the tournament time, you bet I was registered. It just gives it a little extra fun out there, fishing, hoping for a tagged redfish. Again, I'm one of those people in the past that never really thought it would happen. But oh man, I'm so glad it did. And anyway, so we were fishing that day, and we went into Sump Lagoon in Hopedale, and my son Benjamin was on fire. Like, he was getting one redfish after the other redfish. And I kept asking my husband, like, oh, does it have a tag? Does it have a tag? He's like, Allie, I promise I will tell you if it has a tag. Well, Ben got into some monster, ended up almost pulling him off the boat, but it didn't. But unfortunately, it popped the line. We saw the cork was still attached. So I was joking around. I was like, if I see on the news that there's a tagged redfish with a cork still attached, my heart's going to sink. We're running out of shrimp, so we decided to go to one more spot. Sure enough, Ben cast out, lands in a hole, hooks a redfish. My husband's getting that redfish off, so Ben's like, Mom, go cast over there, cast where I did. Sure enough, I did. I landed, got something on the hook, started reeling it in. Ben goes, Mom, it's got a tag, just kind of really kidding around. Comes to the surface, and it has a tag. So I naturally start freaking out. I'm like, Ben, give it to the net. Give dad the net. Give dad the net. Get the fish in the boat. My husband starts recording, and then we see it's a tag. Didn't know for sure if it was a CCA tag, but we were just excited about the moment. Ended up cleaning it off, and we saw that it said 2024 CCA Star Louisiana and the number. And we just went crazy, jumping up and down, hollering. They had a couple of boats in the distance. I'm sure they heard us screaming, because I was just screaming my lungs out. It was unbelievable, like just unbelievable.
You know, Allison, most people don't realize they have the tagged redfish till they get it in the boat and they see the tag. I can only imagine the stress that you were going under when you saw the tag when it was still in the water and it wasn't yet in the boat.
Yes, because you can pop the line if the net hits it. Oh, and
sure,
we've done that a couple of times.
Now tell me, what day was it and why was it a special day?
Okay, so this is the crazy part of the story. So my son turned 11 this year, and he was born June 11 at 11:11 p.m. So we always, that's, you know, an important number to us. Well, for his 11th birthday, which was on a Tuesday, we decided to rent a charter fishing trip. So we did that, ended up catching 11 fish that day. So it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Neat, you know, the 11 keys coming up. Well, we went not the Saturday after, but the Saturday following that, which happens to be 11 days after his 11th birthday on the 11th. We catch the tagged redfish when my husband starts the video. When the fish lands in the boat, it's 11 a.m.
And to top it off, what time was Benjamin born?
At 11 p.m.
That is incredible. So let's get it straight. Now, it's 11 days after his 11th birthday on June 11th. At 11 a.m., you catch a tagged redfish on which he pointed you in which direction to throw it, him being born at 11 p.m., and total number of fish caught, 11. Incredible.
Right.
Well, congratulations, Allison. And now, what's going to be the name of this boat?
I don't know. Something with 11.
I would think so. Maybe Ocean's 11? How about that? Sam, what is the value of Allison's rig that she won?
Over $60,000.
I was thinking that. I think it was around $60,000, $65,000. You didn't know that, Allison?
No.
All right. Now, are you going to allow the family to operate your boat, or is this strictly going
to
be Allison's
ride? Well, I have to, because I've never even driven my boat.
Well, you don't have to when you can catch fish like you did. Allison, congratulations. Sound like you got a wonderful family. Y'all had a wonderful trip, and now you got an outstanding boat, so I'm sure you'll be fishing a lot more often now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking time to tell your remarkable story. It truly is remarkable, and you got to stick with the number 11.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Sam, again, thank you for being with us, and great job you're doing on the tournament. It's not just the redfish. There's a lot of other categories, and if people want to find out all about the categories, look where the opportunities are in the leaderboard and even get some tickets, give them the best website to go to.
CCAstar.com, or all give us a call at the office at 225-952-9200, or visit your local weigh station to sign up and get out there and have the luck as Allison did this year.
Sam, I'm sure we'll be talking to you and getting another update before we get to that Labor Day closing. And Allison, thanks again. Congratulations. And don't tell me you only had 11 shrimp gone, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back again to do this next week. We do it every Saturday morning. We start off at 5 a.m. We wrap it up at 7. We talk fishing, hunting, all outdoors issues, and give you some tips and techniques from our professional fishing guides, our field reporters, we call them. Thanks especially to Cullen Steele, our guy back at the mothership. He had some real special duties and hoops and hurdles he had to clear, and he came through like a champ. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.